SBS Radio.
Thank you for joining the program today. Before we get into discussion about e-cigarettes and smoking, could you talk to us a bit about the QUIT program and your role, and looking at the bigger picture, what is the QUIT program a part of?
So the QUIT program is based in Victoria. It's a Victorian program of the Cancer Council, but across Australia, cancer councils are leading efforts to basically make the environment as positive as possible for people to be smoke-free. So it's looking at changes to legislation that protect people from secondhand smoke and make it much easier for people to stop smoking and to deter youth from taking up smoking. We also run the QUIT line, so there's a QUIT line in every state and territory in Australia where smokers can go for information and advice and help to quit.
And if we were to take a snapshot of smoking in Australia, what is it looking like at the moment in terms of new smokers and smokers who are quitting? Are the numbers going up or down in these two groups?
The number of people who are taking up smoking is now really, really low in Australia. So we've been incredibly successful at stopping kids from taking up smoking. Around about 2% of high school kids report smoking. So that's a fantastic success story. In Australia, we started off with smoking rates up in the 30%, so 1 in 3 Australian smoking. We're down to around about 1 in 7 now. So the story is good, and the numbers of people who smoke are still going down, not as fast as we would like them to. And in some groups, for example, Indigenous Australians, people with mental illness, people with substance use disorders, even people in rural and remote areas, the smoking rates are a little bit higher and we need to do more there.
And it may seem obvious to some, but could you run through the risks associated with smoking? Why is Australia campaigning so hard to get people to quit?
Well, the short answer is that smoking is still the leading cause of preventable death and disease in Australia. So there have been some studies that have shown, or really seminal study that showed, Australians who smoke long-term, we have 2 out of 3 long-term smokers will die from a smoking-related illness. At least 16 cancers caused by smoking, heart attacks, stroke, increased risk for diabetes, increased risk of fertility problems. It's actually easier to talk about the things that are not affected by smoking than to go through the list.
Yeah, it's a very long list.
But if you think about something like 60 Australians die every day because of cigarette smoking.
Yeah, that's a very crazy high number. Some of the ways that Australia is battling smoking is with the plain packaging laws and obviously price hikes that would discourage many new smokers from starting up. Internationally, this isn't the case in many countries. Do you think that these tactics are effective, or is it maybe that Australia doesn't have a strong smoking culture to begin with?
Well, we used to have a very strong smoking culture. And like I said, there was used to be 1 in 3 Australians smoked, and really those rates started going up after World War II. Smoking was fairly firmly entrenched culturally in Australia. Not as much as in Serbia, I must say, but certainly still quite strong. The plain packaging has been fairly recent, but the evaluation by the government has shown that having no sort of brand associations has helped deter people taking up smoking, also helped people to stop smoking. Been very successful. It's now being adopted by many other countries around the world, including the UK, France, Singapore just this week, I think, passed their legislation. So that's been shown to have a real impact. Then we also have a really good and long history in terms of increasing price. That definitely stops kids from taking up smoking, but it also acts as a terrific motivator for people who do smoke to do something about their smoking.
Yeah, because they start to look at the savings from quitting rather than the health benefits, which to some people may be more of a motivator.
Well, that's exactly right. So if you're buying a regular packet of cigarettes these days and you're smoking a pack a day, which is actually getting pretty rare in Australia, you're spending about $9,500 a year. Now, that's a lot of money. The tobacco industry is responding by bringing out cheaper and cheaper brands, and they're bringing out as much as possible marketing things like roll your own pouches in smaller and smaller sizes. But it's really, it's pretty dirty tactics, because they're trying to fool people into thinking that, into not noticing the money basically coming out of their pockets.
going off sort of this discussion on alternatives that are being introduced by tobacco industries or, in general, recently studies about e-cigarettes have been getting intense media attention. A study showed that e-cigarettes are nearly twice as effective as other nicotine replacement therapies at helping smokers quit. So what do you think about this, and sort of what is your knowledge of e-cigarettes?
There's a recent study, which was a really nice study in the UK, which showed that e-cigarettes were twice as good as a nicotine replacement therapy when combined as part of a treatment program that included counselling. So that's not how they're used in the real world, for a start. They also didn't compare the e-cigarettes against the stop smoking medications, which are also much more effective than the nicotine products they tested. So it was a nice study showing that if you use e-cigarette as a nicotine replacement product, like a gum or a patch, along with counselling, it can be quite effective. Unfortunately, that's not how the majority of people are using e-cigarettes, and the most common use is actually to use them alongside cigarettes. So people are using both at the same time, and that's actually not reducing any health risks at all.
Yeah, because e-cigarettes, from what I understand, in Australia and internationally are still sort of a grey area. People don't actually know exactly what they're getting when they're, purchasing them, and what's in the chemicals that they fill the cigarettes with.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, just last 2 weeks, I think, ago, there was a study done testing liquids that go into e-cigarettes that basically said they did not contain nicotine. And in fact, 6 out of 10 did contain nicotine. Nicotine's a poison. It's actually quite dangerous. Recently in Australia, a child died from ingesting nicotine. So the level of the quality of the product, the quality of the liquids used in the e-cigarettes, they're a real concern for us.
Again, more research into the field, because it is something that is gaining attention internationally. There have been studies in the US that show that e-cigarettes for new smokers, so people that haven't smoked classic tobacco cigarettes before, are a gateway into so-called real smoking. How do you navigate this information, looking to get smokers off the real stuff, but then running the risk of getting other people hooked?
Yeah, it's a great question. So in Australia, nicotine is classified as a poison by the Therapeutic Goods Administration, which really approves all of our medicines and medical devices. So the Australian law is very clear that if an e-cigarette containing nicotine is to be used for quitting, it has to go through the same drugs approval process that any other type of drug or medical device goes through. So we've got really clear laws in Australia that help protect people and make sure that what they're using to stop smoking are effective and as safe as possible. So we're a bit protected in that sense. The studies that we're seeing overseas that are showing that e-cigarettes are likely to be a gateway to tobacco are really a great concern. I think we have to be very careful to not have a situation like we do in the US, where these e-cigarettes are marketed very directly at high school students. The US Surgeon General has described e-cigarette use as an epidemic, and in fact we're seeing tobacco use increase in the US along with e-cigarette use. So it's a real problem. We're a bit protected from that in Australia, but we have to keep an eye on what the introduction of e-cigarettes would mean at a public health level, not just for people trying to quit.
Yeah, so it's definitely an area that needs more research and more regulation, even in Australia, even though it isn't as big of a problem here.
Yeah, a lot of states are already introducing regulations that limit the advertising of e-cigarettes. And we were all hoping that e-cigarettes would be a silver bullet that would help people quit. That doesn't look like it's the case. It looks like they could be good nicotine replacement products if used alongside counselling, like from Quitline, but we really need to make sure that they come to Australia. If they do come to Australia, they're approved through the appropriate channels, and then they are kept out of the hands of kids, basically.
Looking at communities and groups in Australia that are having a particularly hard time putting cigarettes down, you mentioned some groups previously. What are the next sort of focus groups or focus areas in Australia that Quitline program, either in Victoria or nationally, are looking at combating?
There's a lot of work going on now to make sure that all of our health professionals are really tackling smoking as a health issue. We've had a situation where smoking is considered a bit sort of like a lifestyle choice, and in fact it's a recognised addiction with recognised health consequences. So a lot of work that's being done around Australia, and certainly we're right into it here in Victoria, is getting our GPs, getting our doctors, our dentists, our pharmacists to actually ask people if they quit, ask people if they smoke, and offer help to quit. We actually know that 4 out of 5 smokers want to stop smoking, but only 1 in 5 actually use proven methods to help them, help increase their success. So we really need to get our health system operating so that we pick up people like those with severe mental illness, or Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians, or people that have substance use disorders.
Just finally, what would you suggest is the best way for people to begin the journey to stopping?
So the best way of quitting is to combine nicotine replacement products like a patch and gum or patch and spray along with Quitline counselling. So you can call Quitline on 137848. It's the cost of a call, and you can talk to someone there about developing your own personalised plan to quit. And I think what a lot of people don't realise is that you don't actually have to be ready to quit to call the Quitline. If you're even just thinking about it, you can call them up and have a chat about what the things are that you're worried about, what motivates you to try, and you can start to build a plan, or even just go away again and have a think about it more. But there are so many benefits to being smoke-free. There's physical health. There's actually better mental health and well-being is very well known. And of course, the financial stress is relieved. So I'd encourage everyone to go and talk to their GP, call up the Quitline, and have a think about starting that journey.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dr. White, for your time today and for that very comprehensive overview. Essentially, what I would suggest maybe even to specifically the Serbian community, which we do have quite a problem in Australia and overseas with smoking, is that, in fact, it's not, like you've discussed, it's not an umbrella solution. It's not something that's going to work for everyone. So the key is to really call up and get that personalised approach.
That's right. And the Quitlines all use translator services. So if somebody calls up and feels more comfortable speaking in a language other than English, we're able to accommodate that. So give them a call. They're a nice bunch. They're certainly not the quit police. No one's going to be wagging their fingers. Just there to help.
Thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.